football on off the ball.
That was huge for them because they're going to hype this up, and they did hype this up, as like Alan Shearer and Guy Mowbray said after the game, the greatest English result in a World Cup since 66. Yeah, and one of the greatest English performances.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Yellow iPod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Hello and welcome to the Yellow iPod on Off the Ball. I'm Stephen Doyle, and much to discuss this week. The Yellow Louth Derby, LOI in Europe, even more new signings on Foyle side, and the Yellow iPod getting festival ready for next month. More on that shortly. First, though, let's have a listen to what happened on Off the Ball last Friday.
Yes, and what a game this promises to be between two sides that have produced 8 goals in their previous 2 meetings this season. Here's Captain Fantastic Daryl Horgan putting in a low free.
Yes!
Oh, Daryl Wilson with the goal for the Duff! Oh, he came flying in at the near post. What a wonderful delivery there from Daryl Horgan. Another assist in the bag for him. And it's a goal for Dundalk in the early stages of this game. Just 4 minutes on the clock. Shelburne, the home team, trailing Dundalk by a goal to nil, and it's a former Shells man to get it, J.R. Wilson.
Bing, now attacking that right-hand side. Tariq Wilson standing in front of him, rolls the ball into the box, looking for number 18.
Oh! Yes!
It's a goal for Dan Kenny! He just saw the ball squirt out in front of him. He won't get an easier finish, and a bit of a defensive lap flaps in the box for Dundalk. It was Edmund Caffrey, the intended target, and somehow the ball slips out to Kenny, who was completely unmarked, and he's had the easiest finish you'll ever get this season for about 6 yards out. It's Shelburne 1, Dundalk 1, the 40 minutes on the clock. He goes and gets dispossessed by Mbeng. Mbeng charging up in front of the Riverside on that right touchline. Manages not to lose the ball there to Tyreek Wilson, gives it to Edmund Caffrey. Caffrey then plays it across here for Dan Kelly, the goal scorer. Kelly looks up, floats it across the area. He's looking for Rodrigo Freitas. He takes it down in the box, plays it across. It's a goal for Harry Ward. That is a superb move by Shelburne. And it's a brilliant decision, the Portuguese, to play it into the path of Harry Ward. And he's finished from even closer range than Dan Kelly. That is super stuff. And having gone down so early in the game, after 4 minutes, Shelburne have turned it around before the break. It's Shelburne 2, Dundalk 1.
Steve, it's an absolutely lightning counter-attack.
Oh, Daryl Horgan got a shot, but he blasts it over the bar. And that is the last bit of action we will see at Tolka Park tonight. What this result means tonight in the table is that Shelburne have closed the gap on Dundalk to just 1 point. They're on 34 now in fifth position, just behind Dundalk in fourth.
I'd say morale might have been a little bit low after the departure of Joey. For whatever reasons he went, losing that game against Bohemians, how is the morale in the dressing room now?
Yeah, absolutely. The gaffer has been brilliant, and for me, been brilliant as well. So there was a bit around the dressing room where it needed to be picked up. But the reaction I think we got from all the players, and on my behalf, the application and the attitude that they've shown me has been top-notch, top-class professionals. And for me, they play for each other tonight. They play for each other in a tough week and ultimately got the result that they deserved.
Do you feel like this is could be a really crucial month in your season?
Maybe, yeah. Look, I think they've all felt like that. I don't think we've had an easy month. When you're coming up into a division and you know you've gone up a level from the first division from last year, I think we've approached every month the same. I think, we've lost 2 on the bounce, which hasn't happened too often for us this season. I think we'd won 4 out of 5 prior to last week. So I felt we did enough there to get something out of the game. Probably focus on any individual month. I'd probably look at it as a whole. There was 3 points to be won tonight. We tried to get them, we didn't. We'll have to do the same next week and pick them off one at a time. Listen, I won't be looking any further than the Louth Derby. I know you're saying what's coming after that, but 1 week at a time here.
Yes, the Louth Derby will be live and exclusive on Off the Ball this Friday night. We will talk about that shortly. Vinnie Perth, Gareth McGlynn, how are we doing, lads?
All good, Steve-O, how are you?
Yeah, in great form, thanks. Listen, before we get stuck into the football, because we are going to talk about the Louth Derby, we're going to talk about the matches in Europe and the other fixtures this weekend, just go off on a little bit of a tangent first. You boys know I'm a bit of a music buff, record collector, a music snob, Vinnie might say. I do love a festival as well. I was just checking there. One of the ones I was planning to go to over the next few weeks. All Together Now, down in Waterford. Always a great festival. It's on the bank holiday in August. I was looking through the lineup. Some of my favourite little picks there. Pulp, the great Jarvis Cocker-led band. Underworld, always brilliant live. The great Kneecap, of course. One of the biggest Irish bands on the planet at the moment. Christy Moore. The great Christy Moore. Mogwai as well did a brilliant soundtrack to a film all about the great Real Madrid man Zinedine Zidane. Damon Dempsey as well. Barrington Levy for any Jamaican music lovers out there like myself. Stephen Doyle, Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn. What? Stephen Doyle, Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn on the lineup for All Together Now. What's going on here? Yes, folks. Sunday afternoon in the Go Loud tent, we're going to have the first ever LOI pod live. Vinny, Gareth, how you feeling about it?
I'll tell you one thing, I will not be singing, let me tell you that.
Gareth, wait,
I'll sing.
You will be singing. I've got major plans here, lads. I think we might do a nice harmonic version of What's Another Year by Johnny Logan. What are we thinking? I'll bring the guitar down with me and everything.
Brought your balls, mates. Is this Dave?
A few teams could be singing that.
Listen,
Dave, I've only one concern. Well, I've two, actually.
Okay.
First one is,
here we go.
Of all those people you mentioned, outside of Christy Moore, I heard none of them, right?
Damien Dempsey.
And second of all, I've had some bad roommates over the years, but sleeping in a tent with Gareth is not necessarily appealing to me at all.
Bring the boxing gloves, Steve-O. Bring the boxing gloves.
I tell you, he's so crack. Lads, I cannot wait. I'm very excited about that. So, listen, we'll have more details over the next couple of weeks. And you know what, lads? Every time I go to a festival nowadays, you're always bound to see some League of Ireland shirts around the place, whether it be the Bows hipsters or it's the St. Pat's hipsters now as well, isn't it? Rovers, Derry City, you name it. You're always bound to see a few. So hopefully we get a good crowd on the Sunday afternoon of the festival down in Waterford. Really looking forward to it. Now, I did mention our lively exclusive match on Off the Ball this Friday. The Louth Derby is our feature match. And I suppose to kick it off, to go back to the comments made by Kieran Kilduff, there was a few interesting things. Vinny, I was going to ask you, just because, look, we know Killer's been in a poor run earlier this season, and he came out of it. Back-to-back defeats, I'm sure he's really annoyed about that. They might have been considering, you know, they had a good result the last time they were at the Talca Park, beaten last week by the bottom team, well, the former bottom team in the division. As a young, inexperienced manager, how do you think he handles this week going into such a big, big game for them?
I think, and Gareth will tell you this as a player, is I think sometimes the bigger the game, the easier it is to bounce back from anything. They look after themselves, and Dundalk aren't under an awful lot of pressure. Kieran has high standards, and rightly so, but he also needs to give himself a break a little bit, because they're currently overachieving in terms of what they've done over the full body of the season. And if you remember, I've said this a lot, they're one of them teams who might lose 3-4 games in a row, but they'd win 3 or 4 big games in a row. And I thought the performance was very good at times against Shells, to be fair. So, and on another day, they got something out of it. If not, another day, they could have won that game as well. So I think they've got to be not too harsh on themselves. And that doesn't mean you don't set standards and you don't drive a little bit more out of your group. But they've been exceptional this season. And also, do not forget, the way they play leaves them vulnerable at different stages. So it's the game of cat and mouse. And what I love about what Kilduff does and the honesty he brings to the game is he's almost saying, go on, you score twice, we're going to score 3 times. And with that, you get done every so often. And they were done the other night. But they were a joy to behold. The only concern I had the other night around between now and the end of the season is the strength and the depth in the squad good enough? And he needs to be supported, if it's within budget, to bring in reinforcements, because Europe is on for Dundalk qualifying, and maybe that might only be fourth, or certainly they look like they could make us of a great cup side. But McDade started the game really well, but just short. Arubi was in and out of game, but again, Horgan was his brilliant self again. And special mention for Ronan Tain. He was outstanding for 60 minutes, 70 minutes a game. They ended up having to use him, I think, at left back when they were chasing the game. But Ron, he's come from Kerry, out of Fourth Division, huge experience. In many ways, if Dundalk had, I gave out the man of the match that because I was working for Virgin, and in many ways, if they had hung on and won, he was the star performer for Dundalk on the night, you know. So, special mention to him. But Clough just needs to be not beating himself up too much and continue to do what they're doing and trust in the process, because they've been brilliant to watch. They're almost everyone's second favourite team in the league.
Mm. Yeah, it's Tian. Let's stay with him for a second, Vinny, because I think maybe he probably needs to just to bulk up a little bit. I don't know if you'd agree with that. He looks a little bit just wavy, maybe, compared to some of the other players, and that will come in time. He's still quite young. And I know my co-commentator, Shane Keegan, said during the game, like, he was a player that he was looking at when in his previous jobs. He was always very impressed. It was Cove Ramblers when Shane was managing Cove Ramblers. What is it you liked about him? I thought he was really impressive.
People can use, when they're describing players, words that mean nothing or pretend they mean nothing. So I'm going to use one of them, and maturity. You know, his ability to receive the ball under pressure, the cleverness of his position. And remember, in that midfield, he had Ed Dervin and Buckley behind him. So he was given the license to go and express himself, and he'd done that. And he took the game to Shelbourne for a long period. So it was just that maturity to receive the ball, to drive into the box. And another day, he almost created so many chances and they nearly got away on different occasions. And when we think of Dundalk, the biggest plus they have has been Onkenny, Irubi and Horgan, that narrow tree. And Clough, by losing Onkenny, might have to change a little bit. McKay played the other day. But if part of that change is Tian joining in and getting close to Horgan and being beyond the Ruby at different stages, well, that'll be exciting. So he just looked like he looked like there's another level or two in him. And like you said, if he's a little bit physically stronger, a little bit without getting too big, but he had so much good passing, good dribbling ability for a 10, and he had a maturity to pick up really clever positions. He had it all, didn't he?
You think his position is a 10 or an 8? I liked him in the 8 because of his running power. Do you think he's a better suited to be an 8 or a 10?
It depends, Gareth. It depends on that.
Opposition.
Yes, but also some teams play 1-6 and 2-8s, right and left, and some teams play with 6, 8 and 10. I think if you play 6, 8, we could lose people here, Steve. So,
sorry. I think this is people want to know this stuff. So,
If a team plays a 6, 8 and 10, I don't think he plays as an 8 guard, if that makes sense. I think you lose a little bit because the 8 has to be the defensive one going back the other way. And he can do that. But if you play 6, 8, 10, he's a 10. And if you play 6 and 2, 8, he's brilliant at that, depending on the stylistic of the team. So that's where Clough has to involve a midfield to suit his front three. And his front three playing really narrow of Kenny, Horgan and Irubi, like, just sometimes it's 10, 12 yards between the three of them. He probably wasn't suited to that as a 10, but because McDade is playing and giving him more natural balance, high and wide on the right, he is suited to the 10. So we've probably seen, we may see the best of him, ironically, because young Kenny leaves. If that makes sense, is I don't know. Sometimes I don't like throwing loads of numbers out, but that's the easiest way to explain it.
Yeah, no, I think it's I always feel that, you know, we do need a little bit more in-depth analysis on League of Ireland teams and how they set up and where players fit in those structures. So I'm all for this, Vinny. Just on the stay maybe with the Dundalk centre midfield, Gareth, the last four games I noted, there's no criticism of Kilduff because he's had his injuries and the nature of his squad. He's had to, you know, maybe patch up holes here and there. We've seen him having to put players into the back four that wouldn't be in their natural positions and all that. And he's done brilliantly. But I just wonder, he's had four different pairings in central midfield over the last four games. And I just wonder, has that had an effect because it is such a vital part of your team?
Yeah, no, that is, of course. I mean, Dervin and Buckley, two relatively really experienced players. That's what you need, especially when you're coming out of the first division. You need players who've been there, done that, know what they expect. I think the big thing with Dundalk and Kilduff is every player, no matter where they play, they know exactly what's required. I think the biggest strength is their culture and their environment and what's expected of them. I agree with you. Dara Burns is playing centre half, playing out of his skin, but those go to you in the middle of the park, whether you keep them in the middle of the park, whether you bring Horgan back, whether you bring Tehan back, I think it just works because of the framework and the culture that Kilduff has created. So yes, of course you need a good strong centre midfield, but any of the midfielders that they have, you throw Trevor Clark on there on the left hand side as well at some stage in the year, like, it's strong and it's got loads of experience. So combinations wise, I just think it's more the structure that they've got in place and the culture that's getting them these results.
Yeah. You know what, Steve-O, can I just say, and don't take this, I see why people ask that question, what you've asked.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I'll go back to the World Cup real quick to give you an idea. See what Colombia do. And I'm not linking Dundalk to the great Brazil team. Sometimes people overthink combinations. And what Kilduff is doing is, Bourne's a great example of it. That's what put it straight into my head. Bourne's can be brilliant at centre-half for 4 or 5 weeks and then be brilliant at left-back for a few weeks. And it's okay to do that. And what Dundalk do really well is they make combinations out of really good players. So when Buckley's playing with Dervin, Buckley plays as an 8 sometimes, like I go back to that 6-8 thing. And there's almost like where they formulate different things. And the reason why I brought up Colombia is have a look at them at the World Cup where Larma plays as the 6. Mm. He does the same job when he's in the 10 position. So combinations of Dundalk is really strong. And it tells you they're being really well coached. They're being coached to play a certain way. So if Ed Dervin ends up in the 10, we've seen so often him arrive in the box late. And what Kilduff has done is he's come up with this, whether he means it or not, the formations are more important than the collective of what Dundalk do. And Garrett touched on, they've been so well coached that actually you can see why Buckley can play right back some weeks. Mm. You can see why he plays centre midfield. And just because they've lost a few results, we shouldn't go and go, is it because they're doing that? It's actually, that's what's making them brilliant and very hard to coach against, because their unpredictability and the way they're playing is making them a joy to watch. And when you even quickly go back to the Shells game, Shells couldn't get out for the first 15 minutes because of the high Dundalk press. And it was Buckley and Dervin and Tim, everybody. It was everybody, centre-halves. And so, nor should he be, Kilduff be listening to us here, but he shouldn't come away from what he's doing, in my view.
And you know what I like, Steve-O, as well? See that formation? That was probably my formation to play in, especially the 3 in front of the 2, obviously, going forward, because there's a little bit of freedom. It's not the 4-4-2, where you've got to stay wide and you've got to stay out there till the ball comes to you. You can come inside, you can go inside, you can go outside, you can go into the 10. There's rotations there. And as defenders, when you talk to players after we finished, they used to hate that. When we played against them, they used to say, we didn't know where you were going to pop up. Not only you, but the other two, kind of the 3 behind the 1, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it gives the players freedom, and it almost trusts them and just says, listen, you've got the ability, just go and cause damage. And then the 2 behind is your security. God forbid you lose the ball.
Here, Steve-O, sorry, yeah. Did Colombia win last night? Fell asleep.
It was a penalty shootout won by the Swiss, unfortunately. I say that, unfortunately, best of luck to the Swiss, but just 6 European teams in the last 8, just it would have been nice to have another South American side.
You know what, Colombia were your favourite team. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I can't believe that.
Anyway, sleepy Vinny. Just on Owen Kenny, he is gone, we know, to Portsmouth. Not really Kenny related, but the fact that Kilduff, now he didn't say it in the piece I included in the montage there, but he did say to me he was quite sure that Arubi will stay. Now he said, look, the transfer window's open. who knows what can happen. But he did feel very confident, Gareth, that Arubi will stay. So with Kenny gone now, how important is it that they do hang on to Arubi for the rest of this season at least?
Massive. If you think about the other teams, not just Dundalk, but the other teams looking for strikers in this window, we all know this window's difficult, really difficult. So if they have to compete with other teams, maybe with a wee bit more clout, maybe so-called bigger teams, it'll be really difficult. You've got to hold on to it. Listen, as you say, they don't know. But if Arubi was to go, it would be a big, big, big hole to fill. Brilliant news on Owen Kenny. Unbelievable. Can't wait to see what he does at Portsmouth. But again, if you lost Arubi, where would you turn to? You know what I mean? It's brought Trevor Clark in already. Obviously, there'll be more players coming in. But going into the market now, when Derry are going to be looking for two strikers, the only striker they have now is Liam Boyce. There's going to Shamrock Rovers, obviously, have got Afol Abbey. There's going to be other teams as well looking for strikers. So you don't want to be going into the market right now, halfway through the season.
The only thing, Gareth, is fairness. It's not a Dundalk podcast, Dave. Sorry, but we'll finish on this and say, if he's out contract at the end of the season or whatever it is, Dundalk are sort of in a position now where they're safe. So as a club, but fans don't like this and you don't want me to say it, but you may have to cash in now as opposed to at the end of the season. Mm. So there's an element of that where they might have to take a risk or sign somebody from a different club and say, we'll cash in now. Mm. But I'd like to think so Dundalk have to be careful from a financial point of view, but if there is the capabilities of keeping them and bringing one or two in and having a real cut off Europe, I think that'd be a huge shot in the arm for that football club. So it is a difficult one for the club.
Briefly, financially, Vinny, there seems to be some speculation over the Owen Kenny transfer, like that they may not get any money for him, or do you know, do you get any insight into that? Or?
Well, only from what I've heard, that there's a small enough release clause that isn't a huge amount of money. There's not a lot you can do about them release clauses. They are what they are, you know what I mean? And clubs are trying to get rid of them, but you can't get rid of them forever. Like, we can wax lyrical here, Gareth, and take the moral high ground, but if you're sitting in a club and a player you want comes to you with one, that, let's be honest, about 2 years ago, I'm not sure many people seen Owen Kenny move for money. So
no, I agree with it. How many years did he have left on his contract, you know?
Or was I'm not sure, but I think the release clause was activated, so it doesn't whether 10 years or
it's just
10 months.
It just, you've got another 21 international going for peanuts again. The League of Ireland, the bargain bin of Europe. It's not good.
So there's pros and cons in our early. If you get on the dog for a second, we've had some brilliant transfers and we'll always have a few anomalies like this. No different than some of the top clubs in the world and letting players live for free because they're out of contract. That's unfortunately the way it goes. And we're getting better at it, but you know, I wouldn't be critical of the dog. I leave that to the hoarders on the ditch over this. Sometimes you've got to get a fella over the line, and what they've got out of Owen has been sensational. So
he's been absolutely brilliant, and his progress has been excellent from his own point of view, and I really hope he goes and has a great crack at the career with Portsmouth, in a very good position there. Just talking about strikers and signing strikers, and there were some whispers that Sean Boyd might be going out the door at Shelburne. I don't know how true those rumours are. There was some talk maybe linking him to Drogheda United. Lads, like, anybody have a view on that one?
Yeah, well,
just to say really quickly, they bloody need him, Gareth, or a player like it.
I was going to say that they're in badly need. I mean, Warren Davis for me obviously he's injured. It's a massive disappointment for Kevin. He's a completely different player, Warren Davis, but they need players up top. Alua and Doyle are doing well, but only having two players when most times Drogheda play two up front, you need another one there. If you think about Boyd, he suits their style of play. It would have been a great addition. I don't know what has happened. I think somebody said he's getting injured. He got injured or something.
Oh, he's suspended because he got the red card ban in the last match, and then they added another three games on because he got a little bit lippy with the referee.
So, all right.
Yeah.
No, again, you're talking about clubs going under the market for a striker. I mean, a lot of teams would have looked at someone like him. Goes back to the Dundalk thing. League of Ireland experience, got a track record of scoring goals. Big handful, he would have been ideal for them. And trying to find someone like that would be very difficult.
You know what? That's a massive learning for any players in the league. It's so hard, and I understand the frustration. When they're sent off, if you're sent off, you not take on the referee at that stage because you are going down. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you say, when you read that report, it is awful reading.
Yeah.
And a lot of players will say, well, I didn't really say that, but no matter what, when all those expletives are put on paper, we're sitting in that disciplinary committee, it is shocking. Mm-hmm. And you've not got leg to stand on. And once you get sent off, you've just got to go, say it under, not even under your breath, you've got to, because that is an insult to injury for Boydie, and it doesn't help him.
Listen, you should see the transcript of our podcast from a couple of weeks ago, lads. It's really shocking stuff.
We started it, Steve-O.
Listen, Kevin Doherty, as we know, one of the, like, whatever is going on at Trotty United, he always has a brilliant way of putting a very positive angle on things. And, you know, he's always very giving of his time after matches and his post-match interviews. Listening to the last couple of weeks, even though Trotty United are, like, on such a bad run at the moment going into this Louth derby, he doesn't seem too down on the team, Vinny. Like, the last time they won a game was the 8th of May. So since then, they've had, what is it now, 8 matches without a win, 3 of those draws and 5 defeats. Can you see why he's not kind of having a go with the players, or is he kind of taking the right approach here?
Yeah, I think so. I think internally himself and Darragh Doyle will be driving standards and having to go off people, video analysis, all of that stuff. But do you know what? What I think about Drogheda is what I've seen over the last 2 years, things like they've got settlements, people travelling together from Dublin. We've seen the videos of them. I've just read the stories, 3 or 4 players in cars. And I had that with Dundalk as well, where when you travel together, there's a great harmony between people. I get the sense that between Kevin and the players and Darragh Doyle, there's good staff there that understand players. And I think what you've got to be doing is, if you're going to throw people under the bus, as some managers can do at different stages, it's very hard to win them back. I think what he's doing is right at the moment, a bit of calmness, because as much as people a couple of years ago would have said, well, they're used to this, to be in around us, they haven't been used over the last couple of years. So they've just got to go with the flow, but they need a couple of big wins. I fear for them a little bit, and I hope I'm wrong, because I still haven't got over the injustice they suffered in Europe that time. By people above them making wrong decisions. They lost out in Europe as a group with Kevin as a manager, and everything that came with that. So I just hope they're okay between now and the end of the season, but I have a big fear for them. I think they need a big win over the next couple of weeks just to lift the mood of the place.
Yeah, well, they've got Dundalk away from home at Oriel Park on Friday night, and then it's the FAI Cup match against Lucan United, and then they're away to Sligo Rovers and home to Shamrock Rovers. Like, you look at their position in the table, like, obviously, Dundalk, from their perspective, they'd have been unhappy last week seeing the three above them all winning, Shamrock Rovers, Bohemians and St Patrick's Athletic, first to third, respectively. From Drogheda United's point of view, Gareth, that win for Waterford brings them up to 20 points just above Sligo Rovers on goal difference and 2 points behind them. Like, is there a danger, Drogheda United, when you look at those fixtures coming up, could they go down into the bottom two?
I think it's going to be a great fight, honestly, God. When you look at the bottom three now, and you, Galway have a game in hand there and they're 2 points ahead, they could easily get dragged into it. But Waterford are an in-form team, no doubt about it. Sligo are struggling to get performances, struggling to get goals, struggling to get 3 points. Drogheda get pulled under it by Waterford. Waterford obviously beat Dundalk, then they went up and beat Derry 4-2 convincingly. It's going to be very tight. I would say that could be more exciting probably than the title race come the end of the season. The only thing I will say about Galway is Galway have got three, they've got the three teams below them at home over the next 6-7 weeks. So that is probably going to be decisive. And Caulfield, knowing him and knowing how he plays, he'll have highlighted those games. Like, he will not take any chances with the games outside of those three home games. So that saying, I think that will allow Galway to pull away. Then it leaves a straight shootout between the three teams, and Waterford will go well. So Drogheda could get pulled on it and end up in the ninth position.
Yeah. But off the fence, Garrett, who would you call now today?
I would go Sligo, Drogheda, Waterford, bottom three.
Sligo. In that order?
Yeah. Sligo down, Drogheda ninth, and then Waterford finishing in eighth.
Interesting. Well, that brings on to the next game, of course, which is on Friday night. The match between Waterford and St. Patrick's Athletic. And you would have got a good look at Waterford there last Friday, Gareth. What is going on there? Because they're absolutely flying now. They've won their last two matches. They had a defeat before that against Shamrock Rovers. You might have expected that. But that came off the back of the win against Sligo Rovers and a draw against Drogheda United. They beat Derry City by 4-2. What impressed you most about the Blues?
You know what? When Coughlin went down, he was very vocal and clear and decisive about how he wanted to play. It was that aggressive, get them fit, get in their structure, and probably start with keeping clean sheets, right? They're still doing that, but he's added a wee bit of creativity, a wee bit of freedom from the midfielders and then the front two. I mean, Lonergan and Ammond, their link-up play. And we talk about these combinations all the time. You don't see many combinations in the league. Left-back, left-winger, centre midfielders doing rotations. You see a lot at Weebos, and it impresses me a lot. Shamrock Rovers, obviously, in their structure. But Waterford have starting to get that now. So it's obviously Coughlin is starting to get that final third back. They were really good, really good. And then, I mean, if you're going to have to look at the third goal, you've got Can, who's playing right of a three at the back, ends up in the byline in Derry's box, cutting the ball back and getting the third goal. I was impressed with it. Now, don't get me wrong, 4-2 probably flattered him a wee bit. I liked watching Waterford. Derry weren't bad either. It was a great game. I think there was five or six times each team hit the crossbar. But at the minute, with Lonergan, Ammond, they just had that extra wee bit of quality and probably wee bit of clinicalness with players playing with a bit of confidence. So I wouldn't want to be playing Waterford in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think it's Pats now next up. It's going to be tough.
So is he settled on a shape now, formation you feel he's got with the, and in a way that accommodates both Lonergan and Ammond?
Yeah, 100%. Lonergan's basically got a lot of freedom, but he's playing close to Ammond. He's not, and he doesn't have a huge amount of defensive responsibility. It's kind of like when I used to play out wide. Defensive responsibility out wide is way more important than the guys in the middle. All Lonergan is doing is just dropping in. He's just dropping into probably the six, which is Dunmigan at the weekend. And then as soon as they turn the ball over or in transition, it's incredible how powerful he is, how quick he is, and how quick he gets to Ammond as well. Now, Lonergan will get all the plaudits. Ammond was exceptional, absolutely exceptional. Glanfield was very good. They all played their part, and they came away with a great victory. I just think Lonergan, obviously there's talk of him leaving. If he were to leave, it would be a big hole to fill, similar to that of Drogheda with Owen Kenny.
Well, you say he wants to leave, but there was a certain club coming in there making a €180,000 bid. Now, I don't know if that was just trying to unsettle the main man before he goes and plays Derry City.
He wouldn't be doing that, Steve.
Was there a bit of skullduggery going on there? But look,
Show me the money, Tommy. Show me the money.
But like, he's had an interesting career, Vinny. He starts out with Cherry Orchard. He's a Meath man from Dunboyne. Joined St. Pat's then. Didn't get a senior appearance there, as far as I know. Went to UCD, back to Pat's. Then goes over to England, plays for Fleetwood Town. Didn't really work out from there. He comes back to Waterford on loan. Then signs for them on a permanent deal. Like, he's been capped by the Republic of Ireland all the way up to under-21 level. He's 22 years of age now. He said this week to the Waterford's, to waterfordnews.ie, he understood why Waterford turned down the offer. But look, sensational season. He's having 12 goals. He's top of the Premier Division scoring charts. What do you make of him?
I think we've all really liked him. He obviously picked up a, a couple of injuries at the wrong time, that's such a something script. I think what we're starting to see now is interesting to see, because Gareth probably hadn't seen him live in a while. Is physically, Gareth, he changed.
Yeah, he's got faster. And I noticed it down there, the last match as well, when Coughlin just came on board. He raced into the corner. I think it was Adam O'Reilly was chasing him. And Adam O'Reilly didn't get closer to him. And I was going, ooh, this boy's got a bit of power.
Yeah, and he's brought up football, how do I say this, the right way, in terms of great football education. He's worked with a lot of good coaches. Gareth's touched on something there in terms of his positional sense. What he's doing is, and why he's able to get close to Ahmed on the turnover and the transition guard, is he doesn't necessarily go behind the number six, whoever it is. He stops the pass and lanes into him. And then when the ball breaks down, he's on the front foot. That's how he's able to join in. I don't know if that makes sense, Steve, but he's very clever in his positional sense. And obviously some of that comes from his coach, but at the same time, coach can tell you to do something, but you have to be streetwise a footballer, and he seems to know his job. But his physicality has really improved. He's always been a good finisher. I was really impressed with my UTD. I've seen a lot of them out there. But he will... A lot of people were waiting to see with Tommy Lonergan in terms of with the injuries, with different bits and pieces. I think come the end of the season... he'll probably be the hottest property from a striker point of view in the league in terms of...
Yeah.
It's hard to know, but if he waited around, I think he'd have the options of at least two other Dublin clubs, and if not three, and Derry would still be there. So.
And he goes up against his former Dublin club in St. Pat's on Friday night. Looking at the form, lads, away from home... Pats haven't had a win in five matches on the road. They've lost the last two, away to Bowes, away to Rovers, before that draws against Derry, Sligo Rovers and Galway United. Meanwhile, Waterford are starting to turn the RSC into a bit of a fortress. They've, if you leave aside that defeat to Shamrock Rovers before that, they've had six matches unbeaten at home. They won the last two before that, Sligo Rovers and Drogheda United. And then draws against Derry City, Dundalk, Galway United and Shamrock Rovers. That's not ideal for St. Pat's. Gareth's going into this match. It's a really tricky fixture for Stephen Kenny and his men.
Yeah, it is. But I think I said this a couple of weeks ago as well. Pats, I mean, we're talking about strikers. Pats have as many strikers as they want to play up. They've strikers, not only good strikers, but they're in form as well. But I find this season, Pats have been very consistently beating the teams below them. I think they've been really good at getting over the line against the bottom four or five clubs. And if you look back, so the return on points against those teams are good. This will be a cracking game, just styles-wise as well. Pats, obviously, we knew under Stephen, very aggressive, very forward-thinking, two wing-backs getting forward, midfield getting forward. And that's where Waterford hurt Derry the other night. They were happy to set off the Derry, let them have the ball. But once they get into the final third, as Vinny said, the transition then, they broke, and they broke with pace. This will be a good game. I'm hoping for loads of goals.
Yeah, I think there could
challenge,
be.
Challenges, Steve-O, though, for Pats and the Pats fans. Because there is a little bit of Pats fans frustrated in terms of, because I keep saying, I think Rovers are going to be still competitive with the league. But I think a lot of fans of other clubs go, they're there to be got at. And the challenge that fans will have is, what is the system? What's the style of play? I don't want to say they've overtaught a couple of the selections, but the team selection would be really interesting. Do they go with Keane up front again in the 10? Do they take him out and go Bagley, you know, Palmer and Lennon as a midfield three? So the combinations they have to come, they've got huge options. Not sure they've always picked in some of these away games the right option or the bravest option, is what I'd say. So that's going to be really interesting to see who start for Pats this week. And that's why Pats fans, it's not that they're unhappy with the manager, they're a little bit noisy. Going, come on, give the title race. Yeah. You know, what's another year, hey?
Well,
hey, but hey, Benny, they've got two games in hand and the 41 points. They're 9 points behind.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you've got to win those games as well.
Well, one thing last night proved is Rovers are vulnerable. Don't put them under a bit of pressure. Yeah. And we're not seeing it enough.
Yeah. Well, listen, the last game at Pat's was a fine win against Galway United, 3-0. And after about 27 minutes, I think it was, Vinny, there was three substitutions made, a triple substitution made by John Caulfield when his team was 3-0 down. What did you make of that?
It was... You could look at that two ways. Did you start the wrong team as a manager? Or... You know, did the players let you down? Look, you were 3-0 down after 23 minutes, wasn't it? Pina got the tour after 23 minutes. So, to be fair to John Caulfield, it didn't get any worse. So, the changes obviously worked. I thought Galway, that's the poorest. I watched 60 minutes of that game back on the playback. So, haven't seen the 90, but I thought that's the poorest I've seen them all season. They were just completely outplayed. They just didn't get off the bus. All that lazy words we all use, didn't get off the bus, looked really vulnerable. But at the same time, Pats were excellent. And when Pats are very, very good, there's most teams will struggle against them. But again, John has to rebuild relationships with the team. He's probably gone for them. And he's taken three off, and he probably said at halftime could have been five. He's gone for people at halftime, be sure, and gone for people at the end of the game. But the one thing Galway have done, and this I would expect Galway, probably at the start of the season, I think a tip Galway to go down. I think the one thing Galway will do, and John Caulfield will do, is he has got reaction over the last couple of years, so he has to get a big one now again.
Yeah,
Evo, I'm going to give you a mad one now. Look at the three players that Caulfield has gone for. The three most senior is captain, is club captain last year, and Bruder, who's been captain this year. I'm going to say that Caulfield is a master at this stuff. He's gone for these three players, set it down
Connor,
a standard.
Connor McCormick was the other one, wasn't it?
Connor McCormick, that's right. He set a standard going, I know the fixtures that are coming up, the three games that I just described, the three teams at home that are going to be playing up against, and he's gone, right, I'm not going to wait the middle of those games. During those games, I'm setting down now the tone for the rest of the team. This is not acceptable, and we've got these games coming up. I think he's been it's a masterful trick.
That is interesting. It is interesting. The other thing is, I think there was almost like a stroke of envy maybe among other clubs when they made their big signing before the summer or before the season started. Franz Pirro coming in. He's played 17 matches now, just 4 goals. It's a disappointing return from him. I think people are expecting him to get into double figures this season, and it feels like he's the man that they need to really to catch fire.
Yeah, I mean, quality player. When he was with Drogheda scoring goals, there was a whole host of clubs interested in him. I mean, he's got everything. I mean, even his 4 goals this year, if you look back at them, there may be one tap in, the other three are good finishes. I always find just that the fitness of him, I can never see him. In the games that he started, he doesn't look really fit or at it in the last 10 or 15 minutes. I think he's always struggled with that, even at Drogheda. But I mean, they need him fired. If he were to get up to speed fitness wise, he could end up firing them to safety. That's how good he is.
They have won the last two Connacht derbies this season against Sligo Rovers. Of course, the two teams are meeting at this Saturday night at it's actually at Pearse Stadium at 5 o'clock. Vinny, Sligo Rovers, one win in the last 10. You know, we have given John Russell a lot of praise here. There's been good performances over the last couple of weeks. It's just not happening for them.
No, and the performances, I mean, they were decent against Rovers, to be fair. I could have got something out of that game.
But the Pats, you're thinking of the Pats game, is it?
Oh, Pats game, sorry. They were decent in that game. And at different stages, they were decent against Rovers as well in the 2-1 defeat. I think the challenge is, if I'm right, they play Galway and then Waterford this in the next two games in the league. So that's massive. They've a big couple of weeks coming up for them. And John has always got...
They've actually... Galway in the 11th, and then they're away to... home to Drogheda United on the 25th. They've got a couple of friendlies in between... a friendly with Coleraine and the FAI Cup match against Janesborough.
Yeah, so sorry, the next two league games is Galway and Drogheda. They're huge games. Mm. What John has always done well is he's managed the window very well and brought in a lot of, I would say, League of Ireland-based players, and they've done really good from his UK market, has worked from. So without getting reinforcements into the squad, you'd really fear for them. I think they need reinforcements in a couple of different areas. And, I mean, I go back to that Pats match a couple of weeks ago. I think we've done it, Steve. I'm not sure it was you, but they were excellent in that game. Yeah. Absolutely excellent. And really should have got something out of the game. So they're not that far away. But when you're not that far away and you keep losing, then you need something a little bit different to come in and give you a boost. And, I mean, I'm hearing noise around one or two of the players as well, that people are looking for them. Maybe a winger might be on the move, or someone might come in for one of the wingers. You can't afford to lose him. Yeah. He's probably the best winger in the league on his day. So
Will Fitzgerald. Listen, we'll have to move on, lads. We'll come back and have a look at them. One of their former players, of course, Ellis Chapman, has been signed by Derry City. It's been another heap of players signed by Derry City. We might discuss them a bit more after we see them playing in Europe, Gareth, next week. Of course, Derry City playing against CSKA Sofia, and Bohemians will be playing at home to St. Joseph's of Gibraltar on Thursday. So we might look back on those games next week on the podcast. Briefly, Vinny, Shamrock Rovers, they'll be disappointed. Had Matt Healy sent off last night, lost 2-0 away to Floriana. We know they had a host of new signings. Three of them started last night for the Maltese club. But I'd say Stephen Bradley is disappointed. That said, I'm sure he'll be confident they can turn it around at Tallaght Stadium next week.
Yeah, I think it's a really poor result. But at the same time, Irish clubs should never take for granted going away in Europe to anybody and winning comfortably. They were off their levels and they got punished. So that's what happens in European football. It's so difficult. Albeit it's the Maltese champion, so people will probably look down their nose and sneer at Rovers. But they have won their league last year, so therefore that side has something about them. Rovers are missing something at the moment. They're rebuilding. When you look at the back three, it's not a Shamrock Rovers back three. They go away from home over the last 10, 12 years. We know Corey O'Sullivan, you know, is going to be an outstanding player. Enda Stevens with the other one. And
Lee Grace.
Was it Grace? Grace, yeah. So it's not what you'd expect with Shamrock Rovers. We haven't seen it. And to be fair to the club, they didn't organise the stream. It was my understanding before. So the stream seemed to have failed, so nobody got to see the game. So really disappointing night for them. They need to win that tie because I think the Irish champions should be in Conference League football as a minimum, unless you get a really fortunate draw.
Yeah.
So you turn it around.
Vinny, thanks a million, and you too, Gareth. It's been an education.
Ivo, can I mention one last 10
seconds? No, Vinny,
you
can't. Go on, quickly.
Gary Buckley retiring. What a career he's had.
Absolutely.
He's good lads. I've never had a nice word said to his face, so I may as well do it now, because he was part of that Rivals. But what a career he's had.
Unbelievable.
When someone retires like that, and he's only a young lad, isn't he? 20, 32, 23 maybe. We wish him the best, because he's had a decent career, even though he played for that Cork.
Yeah, sure do. What a great player. Well, lads, listen, we might be forced to retire after our live pod at All Together Now at Go Loud. So I'm off to tune up my guitar. You boys can go off and practice your vocal scales there. Don't forget, live and exclusive commentary of the Loud Derby, myself and Vinnie Perth, up at Oriel Park. It's live and off the ball from 7 o'clock this Friday night, and also on the Go Loud app, where you can listen to the Yellow-Eye pod every week on X. Get onto the Off the Ball page to listen to LOI Late Night on Friday night after the games at 10 o'clock. And don't forget the LOI wrap up for you on Saturday morning, wherever you get your podcast feeds. Till then, we'll chat to you next week.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.